Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We met with Antonio yesterday. Specifically, myself, Art Rooney, and Omar flew to South Florida. Drew Rosenhaus and Antonio and Antonio's father met with us briefly in the beginning, and then Art, Antonio, and his father sat down at Antonio's request just to have a one-on-one with Art. After that, we all sat collectively. We had gone off and spoken to Drew on the side about some different things that may come out of Art Antonio's session.
93.7 The Fan Time, brought to you by WeatherSeal. You're going to hear a lot of Kevin Colbert between now and 6 o'clock. That was Kevin describing the inner workings, how the meeting with Antonio yesterday was organized, who was there, who talked to who. Got some details. Antonio Brown's father, who was an Arena Football League legend, was there. Did you know that, Chris? The Albany Firebirds?
I did know that he was an Arena League stud, yes.
He's in the Hall of Fame with Kurt Warner.
Where do you rank that here, quickly? Arena League Hall of Fame, above or below the WWE Hall of Fame?
Above.
I disagree. Well, I'd rather be in the WWE.
Thanks for your 2 cents on that, Chris.
I felt it was important to get that out there.
Kevin Colbert says that, confirms they're probably going to trade Antonio Brown. More on that later. And Le'Veon Bell will not be transition tagged. More on that later. You heard in Jeff's update, Kevin Colbert doubled down on what Ben Roethlisberger means to this franchise. His leadership, that he displayed impeccable leadership in Jacksonville, put the first half on him, his interceptions, and then willed the team to victory in the second half. So he cherry-picked a game from this year the same way others who have hated on Ben or have been critical of him cherry-picked the Denver game for a lack of leadership. So you got those two divergent sides going tit-for-tat here. Chris, big takeaway for me out of today. The Killer Bees era is over. They're not going to get into the complicated ring-a-roll of Le'Veon Bell, trade him for something, transition tag, try to match the offers. They're done with that, and they think it's in their best interest to move on from Antonio Brown. So this era of Steelers football, for all intents and purposes, is over. And I wonder, when the history books are written on this portion of Steelers history, how will the Killer Bees era be remembered? How will Bell, Brown, and Ben, that triplet, that deadly triplet offense with all three of those guys, arguably a running back who performed like a Hall of Famer, a wide receiver who absolutely performed like a Hall of Famer, and statistically some of the best years of Ben Roethlisberger's career, how are we going to look back on what these guys did? Because I have strong feelings on it. You want me to just give them to you?
Don't make me beg.
I think it's one of the worst eras in Steelers history. Based on where the bar was set for them, what the expectation level was, what you hoped for out of this group, and for them to only have three playoff wins together, and for them to have the habitual bickering that has gone on, and the finger pointing, and the quitting, and the drama that has lived on with these guys, now that it's pretty much over and we're entering the epilogue stage of this book, I feel like it was one of the worst runs in Steelers history. Not because they were like 1950s and 1960s Steelers bad, but they angered you so much.
Yeah, I categorically disagree with you. I think that's a bad take. Because I lived through 98, 99, 2000 Steelers where Kent freaking Graham was brought in as a quarterback savior. That was a bad three-year run. That was a bad little mini era for the Steelers. This was an era defined by a five-word sentence. Oh, what could have been and should have been, but wasn't. Frustrating is not terrible or awful or bad or worst. They were still a very good football team in terms of their record the majority of the time that these guys were all together. It makes it frustrating that they never got any further than that.
Yeah, it's a
hollow
record.
But it doesn't make it worse.
It's a hollow record, though.
I would take the era of the Killer Bees 10 times out of 10 over watching Cordell Stewart flail, a mediocre defense do next to nothing, and the biggest story out of a three-year era be that Jerome Bettis, did he call heads or tails on Thanksgiving against
they got
the Lions?
More, Bill Cowher got more out of the Cordell Stewart era than we got out of the Killer Bees. They hosted AFC championship games. They were on the brink of getting to Super Bowls with inferior offensive talent, with a quarterback who was always dangling by a thread. Is he the starter? Is he not? An offense that really had one weapon, the running back, and that was it. And yet there they were. Did they have bleak years? Chan Gailey, you know, Kevin Gilbride running through offensive coordinators? Sure, they did. Yeah. But they weren't overrated. They weren't obnoxious. They didn't make you feel like you were watching a team just waste away.
Those teams were boring and bad, and boring and bad, the 98, 99, 2000 teams, boring and bad is exponentially worse than not boring and bad for me. Entertain me.
You cherry pick 3 years where they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
This team had an 8-8 season. And
back-to-back
year,
8-8 seasons, I'm aware.
Yeah, but I don't think Bell was on the first
one.
He
wasn't, but you had two of the three.
And they missed the playoffs in an offensive league where it's about now points. How many can you score?
I know. It's frustrating. I didn't say it wasn't, but to call it one of the worst in team history is to just ignore the facts here.
Which are what exactly?
That they went 13-3 last year.
What does that...
Worst means they went 1-15. Worst means they objectively sucked, which they did not. They frustrated you. They were a bunch of dramatic babies about everything.
Answer me this question. Was it fun?
It was a lot more fun than the three-year period I picked.
I'm not just laying out 3 years. I'm effectively talking about 2012 through 2018.
Yes, this was more fun. Absolutely.
Yeah,
more
I had
fun.
A blast with the Kardashian stuff and helicopters. And positive drug tests.
They weren't boring.
And quitting.
They weren't boring. Entertain me. Preferably as winners, big winners, Super Bowl winners, but entertain me at the very least. My God, I couldn't tell you anything really outside of, you know, that Cordell was the quarterback those 3 years I talked about.
Yeah, the Patriots really don't have any of that stuff. And
do. Yes, they do, but they win.
They
and
are
that's the
so
difference.
Much more entertaining than the Steelers.
Sure, because their quarterback's
by
better and their coach
of
is
magnitude.
Better.
Magnitude.
Yes, because the coach and the quarterback are exponentially better than both of those people here. Those are the two most important positions on most NFL teams, and they're way better.
The Steelers.
Way, way better.
The Steelers didn't get to a Super Bowl with three, you could argue, Hall of Fame players at skill positions. That is embarrassing. That is an utter failure. That is so disgusting. The Cowboys with the same arrangement won three Super Bowls, and they went to like NFC championship games every year with the same design team, with the same setup. And maybe someone says, well, their offensive line was great there too. Yeah, so was this one. So was this one. They've got three Pro Bowlers up front. I mean, to have, what is the shining moment from the Killer Bee era? Beating Andy Reid and Alex Smith because your kicker made what, six field goals? That's the high watermark for these guys?
The high watermark for most people is probably not even that game. I would say it's the Brown immaculate extension play to win the division against the team that outside of New England you hate the most. On what amounts to a do-or-die play. I would imagine that's the high watermark, and emotionally people are a lot more in tune with that. Yeah, they had the misfortune of being a dysfunctional bunch of hyper-talented players with a soulless, godless killing machine of a team in New England that they could never get by.
But
frustrating, yes. Worst, ridiculous, over-hyperbole.
But they did not bungle. They did not get beat by New England and spanked, and that's the reason why they didn't achieve much. they bungled and tripped and fell and stumbled through seasons and more often than not never got the opportunity to face New England when it counts.
Yeah, that
and
makes
that's
them
on
frustrating.
Them.
It does not make this the worst
Dude,
or one of
this
the worst
was such
eras
a bad
in Steelers
era.
History.
Craig Riley switched from the Steelers to the Browns midstream and said, "I'm a diehard Pittsburgh sports fan, and I can't even deal with this team anymore."
Oh, well, when we use Craig Riley as the barometer of sanity here.
I would never jump off board when a team just met expectations if they stunk because I expect them to stink. Nothing is more frustrating than underachieving, and that's what this era feels like.
So does it make it a frustrating era, which is what I've said for the last 10
minutes,
or does it make it one of the worst, Craig?
To me as a fan?
Yes.
To me as a fan, this is worse because it's underachieving. That's not acceptable to me.
Okay.
Underachieving is not okay in a city that calls itself the City of Champions.
There you go.
That's not okay.
So you'd rather a team play like ass as long as you thought they were supposed to?
If I don't get my hopes up that they're supposed to be good, there's no letdown. I just understand this is what it is.
You don't look at that as a missed opportunity that you're regretting and circling back to.
You guys are so
life.
Laughably wrong, it makes me almost chuckle. It really
does.
Why
don't you just chuckle?
Ha, ha, ha. Terrible take.
Let's see how terrible it is, buddy boy.
Put out the question in a good faith way for a poll question.
I'll tell you what. You put out the question to listeners in a good faith way. That way, you can't say that I led the witness or led the caller.
All right. We'll all agree right here before we go to break. I'm going to put out a poll question. How would you describe the Steelers' Killer Bee era? One of the worst, one of the most frustrating.
Just make it easy. Was the Killer Bee era one of the worst eras in Steelers football history? Yes or no?
I feel like that's going to push people towards yes.
How? How does that put... Craig, can you ask the question in a way where it doesn't make it feel like I'm trying to bait people into an answer?
I think you each put out a poll. You put it out Chris's way. Chris puts it out your way so as not to sway your audience.
Looks like the Killer Bee era is over. No transition tag for Le'Veon Bell. Kevin Colbert says it's official. We are going to try to trade AB. How do you remember the Killer Bee era? Was it one of the worst in Steelers history? I say yes. Chris says no. Craig agrees with me because he's smart and he just got a big promotion. 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. That's the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. It's the PM team.
The summation of it was we're all disappointed that we're at this point. How things transpired, we're all disappointed. Antonio's disappointed. We're disappointed. What contributes to the disappointment, I'll leave that between us on our side and his side. But respectfully, we did agree that to look into a trade would probably be the best course of action for both sides. And when I say that, what was kind of perceived or put out yesterday was partially true. The point we made to Antonio is, look, we love you as a player. We thank you for what you did for us for the past 9 years. I'm disappointed that we didn't get you a Super Bowl. I still think you're a Hall of Fame candidate. And I'm disappointed that that may not happen with us.
Disappointment expressed on how the Antonio Brown era came and went. Kevin Colbert today with reporters going to hear more from him throughout the show on his decision to not tag Le'Veon Bell, among other things. And Mark Caboli, who was in on that Q&A, is going to join us in a half hour. Segment brought to you by Pittsburgh's number one Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram dealer, ShorkyNorthHills.com. Sounds like the Steelers will trade AB. They will not bring back Le'Veon Bell in the transition tag. So the triplets, Killer Bees era is over. How will you remember it? Is it one of the worst eras in Steelers history? Chris says it was entertaining. I think
even that's a misrepresentation. I did say that.
Yeah, so how is that a misrepresentation?
Because the first word I used was frustrating, and it was an era of what could have been. But to differentiate it from one of the most recent worst eras I can think of, the late 90s and then in the year 2000, it at least was entertaining. Those teams were boring as sin.
How many of those teams were boring as sin? 98, 99, and 2000?
2000's team was boring, even though they went 9-7. It was a horrifyingly boring year.
So that team with horrifyingly boring players was only a half game worse than this team, which put the most players into the Pro Bowl.
Yes.
This was a shameful era in Steelers history. At no point that you have referenced the 1980s, which many look at as a big-time down period in Steelers history. Very few of our listeners can reference back to Bill Austin Steelers or Bobby Lane Steelers. I don't even really want to include them in this. modern Steelers teams in the Super Bowl era, at no other point can I remember the Steelers being a laughingstock, punchline, embarrassment, where the team felt like a black eye to the city and its fans, and that is exactly how it feels right now. So that is why I am saying it is one of the worst eras in Steelers history, if not the worst, and that's why Craig Riley, who just got a big promotion because he's so smart, agrees with me.
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, you're both cripplingly, awfully, terribly, sadly misguided and wrong. But that's okay. I'm used to that from both of you.
On Twitter, is the Killer Bee era one of the worst in Steelers history? 58% say yes. Here.
Yeah, and you know what? That's your take. I put it out there for once, and of course, I'm getting roasted
for it.
Here's
Tom. He's on the fan. Hi, Tom.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, man.
Boney, yes. Bear with me here, because once again, you know what you're talking about, and Malzy doesn't. First of all, the 80s sucked, and everybody kind of expected them to suck, coming off what the 70s were. Then you got stuck with Bubby and Merle and Louie, all right?
Didn't the 80s suck more because you had the chance to draft Marino and didn't? That would automatically make it worse. You missed on a generational talent at that position.
Hey, you're making excuses here. Number two, Ben and Tomlin underachieved so much, it's unbelievable. Every time they had a chance to beat Brady when they had to, they couldn't do it. They got blown out the last time they had a chance to beat him in the playoffs. This team is just disappointing. Every time it came to the main games down to the playoffs, the Killer Bees just got killed.
Yes. Chris, I would think as advocate number one for the Patriots, someone who looks down and laughs at the Steelers' futility against the team, even though we have said countless times on this show that if you stacked their talent up against each other, the Steelers have more talent than the Patriots, and yet they never get the results, that you would look at this as just a complete joke and waste of time and a franchise that will have all kinds of regrets from this era. Do they regret the 80s? You're saying that they missed on Marino.
How is that not a consideration?
That is. That's one.
Well, he's acting like that's not really relevant. Yes, it is. You had a chance to draft somebody, and you drafted a player who, what, never played a down or, yeah, got injured in a car wreck.
You know what else, though? That era actually had a, for me, had a better win.
In Denver in the playoffs.
Yep, they beat Elway at Mile High. What the hell did the Killer Bees do? They beat Matt Moore in a home playoff game. They only beat the Bengals in a playoff game because Cincinnati imploded like I've seen no other team. That meltdown is on par with what the Houston Oilers did in Buffalo. One of the worst playoff losses of all time. And they beat Alex Smith on a bunch of field goals. Congratulations. I can't wait till they have a reunion, get this band back together, and reminisce about all the good times. The Immaculate Extension, congratulations. You beat Joe Flacco, a guy who sucks.
Super Bowl champ, which John Elway wasn't when the 80s Steelers beat him.
Yeah, Flacco was elite at that time.
Super Bowl champ, which
here's
John
another
Elway
Tom.
Wasn't.
This one's in Ohio. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Very disappointing. I thought we had, every time they played, I thought we had a chance to win. Almost, not quite as strong as I felt in the 70s. I grew up in the 70s, and the Steelers, I never thought they'd lose. And I do believe, as long as Ben is the quarterback, we still have hope, we still have a chance. But I was also there during the 80s and 90s when we had no hope and we had no chance. And it was very, very, very...
The 80s and 90s, they played in a freaking... They were a regular participant in the AFC Championship game, and they went to a Super Bowl in the 90s.
The 90s were much better than this era. Unequivocally.
Okay. Maybe it's not fair to say the whole time, but I never believed it was embarrassing many times, many things when we had. I don't even want to get
man,
back.
Those teams maxed out, man.
Like, if Neil O'Donnell doesn't throw two interceptions, they beat a generationally great Cowboys
team. You can rip Cowher for losing home playoff games, but if you stack his teams up against, say, like that Denver team, that San Diego loss at home is the one that makes you want to vomit. But other than that, did they really ever get beat in the playoffs by a team?
They throttled the Broncos in 97 in the regular season and then had nothing for them in the AFC title game. I'll always believe, given the comprehensive way they beat them down in the season, that they could have beaten them in the AFC
title
game.
But were they a better team? That team had a Hall of Fame quarterback, a Hall of Fame running back.
That game in the regular season was consequential because it could have determined home field And so the Broncos were invested in winning it, and they
fair
got
enough,
thumped.
But when the Patriots lost to the Steelers here in 2004, did you
I
really
don't look at it as an analog there. I never believed that that Steelers team was that good. I did believe that the 97
even
team
even though they
was.
Were 15-1?
No, because they should have lost to Doug Bryan and the yes. Jets. Yes, I will bring that game up every time, and it should not be an afterthought. A guy who wrote a book called Kicking kept doinking field goals, and that's the only reason they made it there.
Derek's on the fan. Hi, Derek.
Fellas, what's going on?
Hey, brother.
Topic. I mean, so I got to say, I actually am going to – my take is that these two eras are almost eerily the same. And I'll just extend those years that you mentioned, Mulsey, from 98, 99, 2000. Extend it just slightly to 97 and to 2001. What is that? What is that? 6 years? 5 years? 6 years? So almost the same time frame as the Killer Bees now. And in both eras, they're defined by underachievement and by embarrassment in the news. I mean, so to your point, Mulsey, that 98, 99, 2000, like, I remember being disgusted to be a Steelers fan, not only by the poor quarterback play, but like Stewart,
but Derek, did the
like
team
the
did the team feel the like a laughing stock? Did it feel like they, it was a black eye?
Back then, yes.
Okay.
That was the only time in 50 years, I swear, that I felt that
the
way.
Rumors that flew about Stewart during that time were shameful and cower. I mean, that was an ugly, ugly, virulent period in the team's history.
How have you felt this segment about all the Mulseys that have been dropped out of nowhere?
I'm resigned to it.
Do you accept Mulsey the same way I accept Pony?
But I always thought Pony was the name you liked to be called.
I didn't.
All right, Mulsey.
I didn't nickname myself Pony, though. It's not a Mr. Big Chest situation. It just kind of organically happened.
Do you prefer
happened.
Andrew or Pony?
Me?
Yeah.
I prefer Andrew, but it's very close.
When you
just because I think Andrew works for all settings, but actually no. In this situation, we're all buddies. We're all among friends. Call me Pony. You know, we're kicking up our feet.
Craig,
we're having a proverbial
Craig
beer together. Oh, he prefers Craig. It's not even close.
Yeah.
So who dubbed you Craigers?
I think it was Starkey.
And who dubbed me Mulsey?
Starkey.
So what is the common theme we're noticing here?
Starkey nicknames are bad.
Mm-hmm. However, and the problem is that Joe doesn't have a nickname. He's never had one. He gave himself a savvy old news hound nickname.
Yeah, that seems
he definitely gave himself a Mr. Big Chest equivalent.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The Killer Bee era is over. No transition tag for Le'Veon Bell. They're trying to trade Brown. Is it one of the worst eras in Steelers history, if not the worst? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370.
He's done it. He can tell them, no, guys, what you're doing is or is not good enough to do this. And I honestly believe that can be a burden on him more often than he may like to admit. Ben's the unquestioned leader of this group. As I said, he's the elder statesman and the Super Bowl winner. If our players were smart, they'd listen to him because he's been there.
Kevin Colbert, I'm Ben Roethlisberger, encouraged Ben to keep doing his radio show today, which I was really a huge fan of. Thank you.
Very pleased.
Kevin, for that.
That is, it's not the most consequential thing to come out of his talk today that I know Jim Colony was in on and everything else, but that is everyone was going to focus on the AB news and on what he said about Le'Veon Bell. As far as guys that'll be here next year, that was a large, consequential sort of vote of confidence for not just Ben, but Ben continuing to do things the way he does them. And in a way, even though I have criticized the way Roethlisberger has criticized his teammates, if the GM comes out in staunch support of it, at least it's a leadership person within the front office or the management structure of the team saying, this is the guy, listen to him. At least somebody's telling people to fall in.
If my boss on the public record made comments like this, I would feel 10 feet tall.
I'd feel very empowered if I were Roethlisberger.
I would feel, man, I might get that $30 million plus that I'm asking for per season. If this is how they feel about my leadership skills and my...
If the owner already said he intends immediately to get an extension done so he's not even considering the thought of not doing it, I'd feel like a close to a blank check was in front of me, wouldn't you?
Yep.
So maybe the top end of it's Aaron Rodgers.
So if you're just tuning in, I've spent this hour ripping the Killer Bees era, which is coming to an end, as one of the worst eras in Steelers football history because of where the expectation level, where it was, what you thought you could get out of this team, and for them to really have three hollow playoff wins and nothing more to show for it is nothing short of embarrassing, in my opinion. When you jettison Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and keep Ben Roethlisberger, is this truly addition by subtraction? Getting rid of those personalities, does that make you right away, instantly, a Super Bowl contender?
I don't think. I don't know how it could. Getting rid of a lot of production in Brown.
Getting rid of egos, malignant personalities, bad guys.
Don't you think Ben has an ego, too?
Yeah, but it's a good ego, according to Colbert.
According to one man.
According to the guy that built two Super Bowl winners.
But hasn't built one in a while.
Correct.
And if you listen to the players that are on the current team he has built, it does not sound like an open and shut case that they view the quarterback to be somebody they hold in higher esteem than the troubled wide receiver who's going to be shipped out of town. No, it is not addition by subtraction. How could it be? Do you believe that James Conner, Jalen Samuels and company will produce the way Bell could have? Do you believe that Juju and whoever becomes the next guy up will produce the way that AB and Juju did? Do you believe Ben Roethlisberger will unequivocally get better with his main target gone? I don't. How could you?
I agree with all that. I agree with all that. But I think you had, during this Killer B era, a solid run of 7 years trying to do it one way, where a lot of draft picks went into defense, but most of the money went into the offense. And you have very little to show for it. The formula that we know works here is if they have a great defense and they just kind of patchwork it on offense. They might have running back by committee. You might have a Willie Parker, Mwelde Moore, Gary Russell situation.
Red zone Redman.
You might have one of those. But you've got a reliable tight end and you've got some blood and guts wide receivers. And your offensive line isn't really that great either, but
you make it work.
You make it work. And Ben pulls the rabbit out of his hat a few times per game, and his statistics aren't as gaudy, but where there's a will, there's a way. He makes clutch plays, and your defense is really what leads you to victory.
But that's not how teams win anymore now. I know the Patriots won the Super Bowl 13-3 in a stunningly low score, the lowest scoring game ever, but that's not how you win. How did the Patriots win the AFC? By outgunning Patrick Mahomes.
True, but if you look at the teams that advanced in the playoffs this year, okay? You had New England, Kansas City, New Orleans, and LA in the championship games.
Mm-hmm.
By far, statistically, the best defense of the four was New England.
I know.
No one else was in the top 10.
The Saints had the best run defense in the league.
Yeah, Kansas, but their pass defense was one of the worst.
I know, it was atrocious.
So, you know, you could, and you just brought up the score of the Super Bowl. Defense ended up carrying the day. They shut down Patrick Mahomes. New England did for a half, and that was enough for them to win
in
overtime.
Isn't the Rams' presence in the Super Bowl, though, proof enough that the star-based model can get you that far? And if Gurley, who C.J. Anderson said was pretty obviously hurt more than people were letting on, if Gurley's healthy, they might win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, Chris, I don't think...
I don't think that the Steelers not getting it done with the Killer B era proves definitively that you can't win when you load a team up with stars on offense.
But we have like almost 50 years of data that supports the belief that you can't win a Super Bowl with a average or bad defense. It needs to at least be good. Doesn't have to be 85 Bears quality. It doesn't have to be 2013 Seattle, Legion of Boom. Doesn't have to be on that level.
What do you think was the
worst?
Doesn't
have to be 2000 Ravens.
Ready for this? Try and just guess off the top of your head. The worst defensive ranking in points allowed, because that's what matters.
2011 Giants?
No. The Patriots have had for any of their Super Bowl wins. They have 6 Super Bowls. What is the worst scoring defense ranking?
8th.
Correct. They have never been worse than 8th. They have been 1st twice, 2nd once, 6th, 7th, and 8th.
They've
top
got
10 every time.
The Steelers have to take this opportunity, shedding $14 million plus in Bell and $16 million in Antonio Brown. They have to use this as a time to get better on defense. And if they don't, well, then they will have squandered what might be a blessing in disguise by losing both of those guys.
I don't think it's just on the players they get that makes their defense better.
Coach T.
Well, no, according to Art Rooney, Coach Butts. He says Coach Butts is still the man most of the time. But it's really both of those guys. There are four people in the organization who I think should be under, should feel like they are under exceptional pressure.
Tomlin.
Butts.
Ben.
A fourth, though. Those are three. Who's the fourth?
Bud?
No, the guy that just talked today.
Oh, yeah.
Those Colbert. Four people should feel like they have the weight of the world on their shoulders.
Do you think Coach Butts snickered when he heard Sir Mix-a-Lot say, "I like big butts and I cannot lie"?
He points to himself, like two thumbs to his, you know, I'm Mr. Big
Do you
chest.
Think Keith Butler has danced to that song before?
Yes, because Keith Butler has been at a wedding and therefore that song Craig? Has been played. What percentage of weddings does that song get played?
None. I've never been to a wedding and I like big butts. Has been played. You make it sound like it's a classic.
Right between the chicken dance and electric slide. Arm in.
Yeah, there's no way.
Craig, you've been to a lot of. Have you been to a lot of weddings?
I have.
Does Sir Mix-a-Lot get played?
I have not heard Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah, me neither, Chris.
All right,
okay, then
you're going to some more fun weddings than I am.
No, then maybe the one I'm thinking of is Jump On It.
Shout,
the one where
maybe?
He shout. No, the one where he shouts out every city in the country, basically.
Also not a wedding song.
Come on!
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, Route 19 in McMurray. Get a sweetheart of a deal this month with auto show savings. 36 degrees right now, some light rain showers. Mark Caboli was in with Kevin Colbert, and he will join us next to give us his take from what the GM said. It's the PM team on 93.7.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.